This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, horse people. This is Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 13th, 2013, episode 679.
Good morning!
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
That's right, it's Thursday! So that means you only have one day left to surf the web for off-kilter classifieds and email them to Jennifer at Horse Radio Network with bad ads in the subject line. On tomorrow's live show, like we do every Friday, the reading of the ads will reveal the top, to whom we will present a gift of clean saddle pads. That's right, a pair of 16-ounce Miracle of Cleanliness products from Leather Therapy. First, saddle pad and blanket wash to remove horse-specific grime and grunge. And as a follow-up, saddle pad and blanket rinse to take care of the unseen critters that cause odor and skin funk on your equine companion. Find them online at leathertherapy.com. Now sit back and enjoy this mashup of crappy lists, guffaw-inducing chit-chat, and especially funny, really bad ads gleaned from the Hit'em Audio Vault.
Let me tell you what should not happen at the end of February in Lexington, Kentucky, is you should not wake up to bad thunderstorms and the weather alarm going off with tornado watches. That shouldn't happen at the end of February in Kentucky or anywhere.
No, aren't you supposed to be just getting wet snow right now? Not tornadoes.
No, it was 65 degrees yesterday, and then this front's coming through. By the way, we're supposed to have another line of really wicked storms here in the next half hour. So if we go off the air, you're talking to yourself, buddy.
Ooh, it's all about me, my show. So if that happens, if Glenn disappears and Jennifer disappears, those of you listening, just give us a call, 347-637-3238, and I'm going to take surveys on what you do and don't like about Glenn and Jennifer.
No. Oh, there you go. Well, hopefully that won't happen and everything will be just fine. That's what we hope. Hey, it's leap day. You know what my theory about leap day is? Because this is kind of a day that doesn't exist, you can do anything you want today and it doesn't matter.
I like that. What a good idea. Now,
you can eat what you want. You can break all the laws you want because they can't arrest you because this day didn't really exist.
You know what this day is? This is an extra special day given to us once a year where you don't have to pay your mortgage for one extra day or your board bill. You know, it's like, I'm like, oh, but now that I'm boarding horses, this extra day is a day that I'm not getting paid on the first of the month by all my boarders. So this is an extra special day. And, you know, I feel bad for some people. And I would love to hear somebody on Facebook post about, is it your birthday today? Because if it is, how old are you? I mean, are you 4? Are you 8? You know what I mean? How old are you? Because if your birthday's on leap day, do you not, like, celebrate it till your birthday is around?
Well, you can have a heck of a party every 4 years.
That's true. That would be a good idea.
Because then is important. Like, we have them every year, and it's kind of like it's your birthday. But, you know, everyone's important when you only have one every 4 years.
I know. So maybe a good question on Facebook, question of the beginning of the show. It doesn't have to be the question of the day. But do you know anybody, or is it your birthday today? And if so, how do you celebrate that? Are you 4 years old today, or what? You know? I mean, I would love to say that at the age of 30-something, I'm only, you know, maybe like 12 years old or 10 years old. maybe 8 years old.
Well, I was going to say, there is the mental side and then the physical side, Jamie. As long as we all act like we're only 12 to 16 years old, I think we're fine. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Horse World. Good morning, Jamie. And I am feeling bad. I have beaten this thing off with a lunge whip. I am not letting it take me. Telling you. That and a lot of
You're
drugs.
You're talking about your illness, not a home invader, right?
That's correct. Yes, my illness, which could be a home invader. I'm fighting the cold off. I'm not letting it take me. I'm beating it.
Well, I do appreciate you sending it over to Chad. So that was fun. Between hearing you whine all... Okay, Jennifer, what is it about men, you guys? Seriously? You know, Jen and I, we get a cold. And, you know, I still have to go feed. I have to get this doll done. I have to get the horses ridden. I have things to do outside. And a man, like, gets sick for 10 minutes. They're like... Oh, God, I'm dying. I can't get up. I need soup. And can you bring me the... Blah. Like, seriously, you guys are wusses. What is wrong with men?
Yeah.
We are good at that. I admit that we're good at that, and it's something that we reserve the right to do.
I was so frustrated with men yesterday after hearing Glenn all morning, like, oh, I just, I don't know if I can do this show. I feel so bad, and then I literally get off the air with you, and I walk in, and I'm like, whoa, God, okay, glad that's over. And Chad's like, honey, can you get me? And I'm like, oh, my God. You got to be kidding me.
And I think horse women are less tolerant of us men, too. I think you have to admit to that. I think it's true.
Oh, well, we're less tolerant to anybody being, you know, slower than us. I mean, my God, the women have a barn walk. We have a place to go. You take a man into a barn, and I'm like, hello, come on, come, let's go, come on, hurry up, come on. And men are like slowly meandering. But dear God, you take a man to a sporting event, and they're just like, chop, chop, come on, let's go. We got to get the thing, got to get the first pitch, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, I'm like, I tell Chad all the time, I'm like, can you use your sporting event walk at the barn, please?
Honeymoon's over. Hey, the other thing that Jennifer, speaking of fast walks, Jennifer is a fast packer. Oh my God, we're not moving. 2 weeks from today, we pick up the moving truck and we start loading. She's got everything but my underwear and a spoon and a plate packed. I am lucky I'm still doing the show because everything else is packed. I said, okay, we still have 2 weeks yet. You cannot pack just everything. You have to leave some things out.
Why?
You will use a paper cup, Glenn, and you will like it.
Right.
I can't cook dinner if there's not even a pan in the house. I can't do it. Sorry.
We will eat out, and you will like it.
Jennifer, what's coming up?
So, before I continue to embarrass myself in front of the next guest, let's go ahead and bring her on. Her name is Carrie Blackmore. She's one of the trainers from the Retired Racehorse Training Challenge. And the horse she is training is called Four Times the Trouble. Now, I got to, first of all, I'll say good morning to Carrie, and then I'm going to talk to her about something completely unrelated to the Retired Racehorse Training Challenge. Hey, Carrie, how's it going?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. I must reach through this microphone and give you a big hug because from now on, every time I go to a horse trial, I'm going to say these things and think of you. There's a video of Carrie. Oh, my gosh, it is so funny. And I wanted Glenn to play it here, but he said nobody will get it but Eventers. And it's a video of Carrie. Tell everybody what the video is and what made you come up with the idea.
Well, there's been these little videos circulating around Facebook for, you know, lots of different things, like what riders say. I've seen one, like what trainers say. So I said, well, somebody's got to do one that stuffy eventers say. So I said, why not? So we were just having a little fun one morning, and, yep, and I posted it on my Facebook, and next thing I know, 10,000 views later. So, oops.
I love
so
it.
We were just having a little fun.
It is so clever because I was at Galway just last weekend or 2 weekends ago, and holy cow, I think I said everything you said. Like, hey, is this whip legal? Are these, yeah. what studs are you using? And then the whole, like, do I halt at X or G? Because this test I halted at G, and it was very confusing because I went down the center line. It just didn't make any sense. And I'm like, where do I halt? Do I turn left or right?
Oh, yeah. We could have kept going on and on, but at some point we had to start riding some horses, so.
Hey, will you tie my penny? Can you tie my penny?
Yeah, exactly.
incredibly clever, and I do appreciate every one that came out of your mouth. It's just so perfect. So if you want to go see those, where's the website that they can go see those?
Well, I think it's still posted on the Retired Racehorse Training page, and I believe it was on Eventing Nation yesterday. I logged on to Eventing Nation, and I was like, oh, that's me. Like, okay.
And just a little update on Joe Montana.
Oh, yeah, what's up with the little Joe?
This is a horse, another horse we got from jail, but he is a 4-year-old thoroughbred, but he never raced. So the challenge with him is that I'm starting him from the ground, you know, going from nothing. So it's been interesting because, like with Jet was already broke. I just kind of had to restart him and kind of brush him up on stuff. This mm-hmm. horse has never been ridden ever in his entire life, not to mention the fact that he spent his first 4 years in a stall. So it's been a challenge. I have been on him now 5 times, and we trotted for like 15 steps last time. I had my student get out in front of him because he doesn't know what leg means. And I taught him the voice commands on the ground. But the leg, when you put it on him, he doesn't understand what that means. And you take that for granted when you have a horse that goes when you squeeze. So I had my student get in front of me on her pony. And I was like, okay, Rachel, go ahead and trot. And she starts trotting, and then Joe starts following him. So he's starting to learn a little bit.
You're using the follow the leader method.
Exactly. I'm like, might as well use what they have in their brains. You know, it's like, oh, sure. He's trotting. What's that squeezing? Oh, I guess I should trot too because he's trotting and they're squeezing. What is that squeezing?
it's not a whole lot different than at the racetrack. They give them a pony horse. So when they get out to the racetrack, they kind of bond with that horse and go, okay, I'm going to follow him. It's really scary out here. And they follow them. And it's really an effective method of encouraging a horse to move forward from the get-go. It's harder to buck or rear when you're moving forward, so it's always a good policy.
That is kind of true.
I'm back.
I didn't say it was impossible. I said it's harder.
Coach Jen here, host of the Horse Tip Daily Show on the Horse Radio Network. The way consumers interact with the brands they have trusted for years and those they are about to fall in love with for the first time is becoming more and more mobile, literally, and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. Podcasts or internet radio shows like this one combine the new consumer preference for on-demand information and entertainment with the power of niche market audiences. Advertising on the Horse Radio Network podcasts allows you to reach the equestrian consumer using today's preferred on-demand delivery system. It's cost-effective and flexible, able to reinforce your existing marketing and social media strategies. To learn more about advertising on this show or any of the shows on the Horse Radio Network, contact us at 859-951-2022 or you can email us at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. That's Glenn with 2 N's at horseradionetwork.com. Come and join the Horse Radio Network family. You'll enjoy the ride.
Hey, I found out something today. I'm going to do crap. Oh, by the way, it's time for Crappy List Wednesday. I have no music or anything, so that's my introduction. So every Wednesday I look for crappy lists that have something to do with anything. I don't care. I just Google it and see what I can come up with. Well, today I decided to Google study shows because there's all these studies out there and you always hear, oh, this study showed that blah, blah, blah. So I just Googled study shows. Oh my God, there are a lot of studies in this world. Tons of them. I must have had 50 pages. Just from the last day in Google News of this study shows. So I thought I would just give you some of the headlines. And most of them, I was reading the headlines going, duh, we needed a study for that. So let's see what you think. Here are the first ones I came to, and then I did stop at one, and I'm going to tell you why, because I actually went in and read this study, and you're going to see why when I read you the title. But first, the first 10 I came across. Study shows 1.8 million dead registered U.S. voters still on the voter list. That's not such a big surprise. I kind of expect that. It's okay as long as they're not actually voting. It's okay to be on the list as long as they're not actually voting. If they're voting, that's a problem. U.S. study shows antibiotics ineffective for most sinus infections. So, Jamie, don't bother going and get antibiotics because it won't help. Just saying.
Oh, no. I was thinking about going because I feel like I have a sinus infection.
Well, that's what the study shows. I'll send you the link. You can read it before you go to the doctor. Fukushima nuclear reactors need reinforcing, seismic study says. Okay, those are the ones that blew up. Yes, they're going to need some reinforcing before you restart the plant.
Okay.
I could have saved them $1 million there. See the big crack in the side of the seismic or their nuclear reactor? Yeah, we need to fix that before you restart it. National study shows integrative medicine is effective in treating common and costly health conditions. Now, that's one of those titles that I say probably wasn't a great title because I have no idea what they're talking about. Nor does it make me want to read it. Yeah, me either. Study shows adult stem cells repair heart attack damage. Now, that's a really cool study, and I actually did read that one. I actually went in, and it looks like they don't need baby stem cells to do this. They're finding out that they can take and regurgitate your own stem cells, and it will fix your own stem cells will go back and fix your own heart attack. Oh, that was pretty cool. Study shows alcohol may boost creativity. There's yours, Jamie. Study shows alcohol may boost creativity.
I am so brilliant at about 8:30 p.m. You get in from feeding the horses, you sit down, and the ideas just start coming to me one after another. Too bad I can't remember them by the next morning.
And you know what? That was one of those I said, I should go read that. And then I said, you know, it's going to be one of those really weird, stupid studies that after I read it, I'm going to go, really? So I thought I would just stick with the headline and go with that.
You probably went and got a drink.
Study shows baby boomers purchase the most cosmetics online. When I read that originally, I read it, study shows babies purchase the most cosmetics online. And I took a double take at first, and then I read it again. So apparently us baby boomers are really in need of cosmetics.
New study
shows cancer drug may help Alzheimer's patients. I actually went in and did read that one because I had heard something about that. And this is actually looking promising that this particular cancer drug in this study, it was a pretty large study too, has been shown to help Alzheimer patients not progress as fast as they were before, which, you know, anybody knows anybody with Alzheimer's knows what terrible disease that is. Apple tops Google in corporate reputation, study shows. So now if you think of those two, which do you think more highly of, Apple or Google, please?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I wouldn't be able to live my life without Google, and I sure do love the heck out of my Apple phone. So it's a pretty standard tie to me.
And now the one where I stopped reading the rest of the pages, and I just focused on this one. And I want to bring it up and go over it a little bit because I consider it very, very important. Are you ready for the headline, Jamie?
I don't think so.
Cake for breakfast, Study says go for it. Yes, indeed. This particular study, obese participants who ate a breakfast high in protein and carbohydrates that included a dessert were better able to stick to their diet and keep the pounds off longer than those who ate low-carb, low-calorie breakfast. The findings suggest that both... Wait a minute. The findings suggest that both meal timing and meal consumption play a role in weight loss. Carbs and proteins eaten at breakfast may keep us full throughout the day, plus allowing ourselves some sweets helps to stem cravings for these foods. So in other words, what they're saying is if you eat cookies and cake for breakfast, you're less likely to want to nibble on them all day long.
But this just goes all the way back to the one person who is never wrong, ever, and his name is Bill Cosby. And I do believe he did a whole, Dad is great, he gives us chocolate cake.
That's
Dad is great, he gives us chocolate cake. See, Bill Cosby is a genius. Bill Cosby
we had we have the satellite in our car, and I was listening to the comedy station, and the Bill Cosby thing that came on, the little segment he did about feeding his kids cake for breakfast and his wife getting mad, that just came up yesterday. So it's so funny that you mentioned the Bill Cosby thing, because I just heard that
I will never forget that. I mean, if you watch him do stand-up, he does a whole segment on feeding his kids chocolate cake for breakfast because he's like, what are the ingredients? There's eggs!
Milk, eggs,
yeah. And milk! See, Bill Cosby was right all along 30 years ago when he did that comedy thing. We should have just known. Eat chocolate cake for breakfast.
Let me read this one last paragraph, and then we'll go to our next guest who's waiting here. After 16 weeks of strictly following diets, both groups lost about the same amount of weight. However, during a follow-up period in which participants were advised to stick to the diet but could eat more if they were motivated by hunger cravings, the small breakfast group gained 24 pounds, while the big breakfast group, including cake, lost an additional 15 pounds.
Wow.
So I'm That's just it. Saying, eat cake every morning for breakfast. There we go. Proof right
Ben
there.
Ben is great. He gives us chocolate cake. Oh, my God. Well, listen. Kate, do with that what you will. I Googled it and said studies show that eyeballs are increasing in sizes. So yours is way better than mine.
But let's get to crappy list. I have a fun one here for you that we take a look at every year, and I need you to guess this one, Jamie. So are you ready for a little guessing game?
Yeah, sure.
All right. These are the top 10 dog breeds in 2011 by popularity, as put out by the American Kennel Club. So these are the top 10 most popular dog breeds for 2011. So do you have any guesses?
I'm going to go ahead and rule out the dogs that my husband bought because I don't think English Shepherds made the list. Am I correct?
That you are correct.
Okay, then I'm going to have to go with the Labrador.
Labrador number one, again for like the 50th time in a row.
That's because they always get loose and breed with each other.
They're a great family dog, Labrador.
Yeah. Next would be Golden Retriever.
Actually, the Golden Retriever is number four on the list.
Okay,
so
number
doing
four.
Good so far.
The next most popular dog breed would have to be the Jack Russell Terrier.
Not on the list, because I don't think they must have asked any horse owners. You know, if we made a horse owner list, we'll talk about that. Let's do this list first, and then we'll kind of make up our top 10 list for horse owners, you know, what they own.
Okay, well, then that begs the question, is the Corgi on the list?
The Corgi is not on the list. You're going to be surprised at a couple of these that are on the list, actually. I think you're going to be surprised.
All right, well, then I'll guess a random one. Would the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel be on the list?
I don't think it's in the top 100, Jamie.
Oh. Well, they had those dogs on Sex and the City, and I thought they got popular after that. How about the Karen Terrier?
Ooh.
Okay, you need to be thinking a little more. How about I give you a hint? We'll start at number 10, and I'll give you a hint on this one. Think hot dog.
Dachshund.
Dachshund actually, for the first time, went to number 10 on the list. Broke the top 10. Number 9 is the Boxer, of which is that what Wendy just adopted? Jennifer, was that a Boxer?
Yes, she just adopted a sort of one and a half eyed Boxer.
A one and a half eyed 14-year-old half crippled Boxer. That's right.
Ooh, what a find!
She has already done acupuncture about 12 times. I said, great. This one and a half, you know, this dog that can only see about 30% has one eye and it's sticking out of its head, and it's 14 years old, comes into your house, and you start poking it with needles. He's going to love you.
Can I guess, is the border collie on the list?
Nope.
Golly, forget it. Just go ahead and tell me.
Number eight, poodle. It kind of surprised me. I guess poodle. Did you?
Yeah. Well, see, they have a statistical advantage because there's four sizes to choose from.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, this must be all poodles, not just mini poodles. I like the big poodles, not so much the little poodles.
Big poodles.
But the big poodles are cool. Number seven, the bulldog. I was kind of surprised. Number six, I was really shocked at. It's the first time it's broken top 10, and actually it kicked the Shih Tzu out of the top 10, and that was the Rottweiler.
Kick
really?
The Shih Tzu sounds like a rap song.
Kick the Shih Tzu. Sure,
I think you need a wrench. I think you need to wrench your mouth out with soap.
Sorry, I'm gonna put myself on mute.
So the Rottweiler was number six. I was kind of surprised to see that in there. Number five, the Yorkshire Terrier.
Oh yeah, you know, my mom has one of those.
Yeah, are they yippy dogs?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what? I got to take that back. My mom's just a yippy dog. I can't speak for other Yorkies, but my mom, I'm like, just kick it. Just kick it.
My mom had a schnauzer, same way. Barked endlessly. Oh, it was awful.
I'm like, why is it barking? I'm on the phone with you. It's not like I'm ringing the doorbell.
I know. Used to do the same thing, or their schnauzer used to do the same thing. Anyway, number four is the Golden Retriever, which I thought you did guess that one, right?
I did.
Number three, the Beagle.
I guess that one.
Yeah, number three in there, the Beagle. Jennifer loves Beagles. That's one of Jennifer's favorites. Someday we'll have to own a Beagle.
Okay.
Number two totally shocked me, and that's the German Shepherd. I didn't know there were that many German Shepherds out there.
Okay. I can see that.
And number one, you guessed it, was the Labrador. So that's the top 10. Now, let's do the horse owners list. Do you think the Corgi is number one now, or is it still the Jack Russell? What do you think?
I think it depends on what horse show you go to. Because it seems to me, like, obviously, if you go to, like, the Hunter Jumper shows, there's a lot of the Corgis. If you go to more, I don't know, the more jumpers or Western riders, don't they have a lot of the Jack Russells? And then I feel like when I go to events, everybody's a mutt. Like it doesn't seem to be like one specific breed, and, you know, mutts are just kind of everywhere. Jennifer, do you have an opinion on the dogs? I mean, I think I see a lot of Border Collies, a lot of Corgis and Jack Russells and mutts.
Yes. Yeah, mutts. And I would agree with you. When you go to, and you're at the shows, at the indoor circuit in particular, you tend to see a list that a little bit closer matches the AKC. But, yeah, an event, herding dogs that do not need heat in their bedroom, dogs that do well with horse poop. Those are the dogs you see at events. What do you see at carriage shows, Glenn?
Oh, they got Jack Russells. They have Corgis too. I think probably at carriage shows you see less of the Heinz 57 mutts, and you see more of the purebreds. And the other thing we saw a lot of at the one carriage show, Jennifer, was the tall, very statuesque, regal looking dogs. I can't remember the name of them now.
Sighthounds, the big.
Yeah. There's a lot of different kind of sighthounds. Not so much greyhounds, but sighthounds. What are they called?
Afghans and
those kinds.
Yeah.
We've seen those at carriage events too. But they tend to go for smaller dogs that fit in your lap. You know, can fit
well,
on the
they
carriage
have
in
to.
The lap.
They have to sit in your lap and go for the ride. You know.
Yeah, that's right. That's correct. So that's the list of top 10. Hey, now I got a fun little list we can go through very quickly here. We all love movies. We talk about movies a lot here on the morning show. And, you know, we were just whining the other day that Warhorse didn't win anything at the Oscars. Well, I have the 13 things that movie theater employees won't tell you about going to the movies. And this was put together by a bunch of movie theater workers from across the country. So these are the top 13 things they won't tell you. Number one is popcorn keeps for a day or two, so many customers confuse warm with fresh. And the first moviegoers of the day get day-old popcorn.
Really?
Yeah, they don't empty that out because it keeps. So they think it keeps, so they're saving money. So they're just going to get, you know, they're saving their 25 cents for popping another batch of $12 popcorn. So if you're there to see the matinee first thing in the day, you may not be getting popcorn, fresh popcorn. Number 12, yes, the movie starts late. Get used to it. But they almost always end on time. Otherwise, the ushers wouldn't know when to clean up. Theaters tell you to come in early, so they force you to watch the commercials and the previews. And that is so true. And I think that's gotten worse, hasn't it?
Gosh, yes. You have commercials now. They're not just previews.
Yeah.
They're commercials.
I know.
See, there was a day you didn't.
Well, if you look back at movies where, the, you know, people watching movies in old movies, and they're watching it, and, like, there's news that comes on, a newsreel, and there's, like, and not even really previews, just kind of general lifestyle stuff. And now we're, like, watching about a lawyer who, you know, if you've been injured in a car accident, give this number a call. It's ridiculous.
I know. And it used to be the shorts. They used to do more of the shorts, the little tiny movies, the 4-minute movies that they did before the movie. And they used to do more of those. And now Pixar is the only one that does them, I think.
That's true. That is true.
Okay.
And they're probably the most expensive. So let me guess some of these, because your crappy list, things they won't tell you in the movie theater is that they never, ever disinfect anything.
They didn't say it quite that way, but number 11 is, yes, sometimes we sweep excess food under the seats. Movies often end every few minutes, and we just don't have time to clean up, so we'll just sweep the garbage under the seat.
Gross. They just need a blower. Stand at the top, turn the blower on, and blow it all down to the bottom and sweep it up. God, I'm brilliant.
You got any more guesses, Jennifer?
Something about the cost per ratio of how much popcorn is. Like, popcorn literally probably costs them like 10 cents and they charge $12. Same deal with the sodas, Cokes and stuff. I bet that they make probably 1,000% on those.
That's pretty much what they do say. And in the article here, they said that they make no money at all on the movie. When a first-run movie comes out, it all goes back to the movie company. So they make nothing, so they have to make their money on this stuff. You can't get extra cups. Don't ask for an extra cup. We're not going to give you one because everything's inventoried at the end of the night, even the cups. Like, well.
Yeah.
Stop getting angry that your food isn't ready. Microwaves can't cook frozen pizzas in 30 seconds. I can honestly say that the only thing I've ever gotten at a movie theater is the popcorn and the boxed candy. I have never gotten anything of the extra stuff. And they say in here, one of the ones is, the only foods that we trust to eat, now this is the employees at the theater, the only foods that we trust to eat are popcorn, drinks, and box candy. Mm-hmm. We would not eat any of the pretzels, hot dogs, or nachos.
Wait, they'll only eat the what? The
popcorn, drinks, and box candies. They wouldn't, they as in, their own employees don't eat the pretzels, hot dogs, or nachos. They don't recommend that.
Huh. Gross. Okay. So all the years of sneaking my own food into the movie theater is probably the best way.
It's probably the best way. And, you know, that's why I always wear baggy coats, because we bring in water. And, you know, even water there is like $3 or $4. Let me see what other ones are good here. We're running out of time. Oh, why does it smell so good in the movie theater? Because the popcorn has chemicals in it that makes the aroma fill the theater. They actually add smell good stuff to the popcorn so it smells better. And let me see what else here. I know all the methods you use to sneak in to see a movie. I just don't care enough to kick you out for it.
They know. So, they know.
Have you ever done that? Have you ever watched one movie and then snuck into another one? Have you ever done that?
I can't sit still that long, so no. Have you?
I think when I was a teenager, yes, I have to admit that we probably did that once or twice. Jennifer and I have actually gone into one movie, and it sucked so bad that we would leave and go watch another movie. because we figured we paid, we had the right, that this one was awful, so we didn't have to sit there and watch it. We at least deserved to see a movie. That was our theory.
Now, I understand that and appreciate that theory. However, if your movie sucks, and I have done this many times because, again, I have a hard time sitting still that long, so it better be good. And if it sucks, I will go out, find the manager, and tell them I don't want to see that movie. Get a refund for that movie and then buy a ticket for another one. Because if its movie is that crappy, I don't want them getting my money.
You put a lot of effort into that.
Do you know how big a deal it is? The, like, 10 years I was doing, every Monday morning I would have to do a count of, like, what movies were top in the box office for this past weekend. And I would never want the crappy movie to be in the top box office count. Sorry. Just me.
Last couple of weeks we've been talking about potato chips a lot because it's one of my favorite snack foods and it's your favorite snack food and we're kind of addicted to it. Well, and you know, if you go to the chip aisle nowadays, oh my God, they have so many different flavors of chips. It's like there's a war to see who can come up with the most crappiest chip flavors ever. Well, ABC News just did yesterday. They put out their top 10 most outrageous potato chip flavors. These are real potato chip flavors on the store shelves. Are you ready, Jamie? There's some bad ones here, too.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I went to the chip aisle yesterday, and I was tempted to try the Pringles dill pickle potato chips. Are these weirder than that?
That doesn't sound too bad, actually. Oh, these are weirder than that. That doesn't sound, I would try that. You know, what did we just try? The Kellogg's, they're making cracker chips. And I tried the Kellogg's cheddar cracker chips, and they're okay. But I think it's like a poor substitute for a potato chip. Just give me the grease. Number
Glenn,
10.
I'm telling you, Kellogg's needs to advertise on the Horse Radio Network because it works.
Oh, I saw the ad once, and the next day I went out and bought them. I saw the ad on TV, and I never watched the ads on TV, but I ran out of things to watch on TiVo. So I had to watch live TV, and I saw this ad, and the next day I went out and bought it. I am so gullible. Anyway. Number 10, Jiminy Chips Chocolate Marshmallow Potato Chips. Chocolate Marshmallow.
I don't know how I feel about that because I do love the salty sweetness of pretzels with chocolate and marshmallow, so that might not be bad.
Yeah, I had the same reaction, Jamie. I thought, ew, gross. Now, wait a minute.
I like all of those individually, but would they be good together is the question. Number 9, Lay's Cheese Lobster Flavor.
Ew.
Cheese lobster. Ugh. That doesn't even sound good on its own, putting cheese on lobster.
I wonder if that's vegetarian. Like, do they use real lobster, or is it lobster flavoring?
Well, it does say lobster flavor, so I doubt they, you know, boil up some lobsters for this baby. Number 8, Lay's. Here's Lay's again. Lay's seems to be leading the way here. Lay's Hot Chili Squid. That just sounds like fish. Like, you couldn't even use it for bait. No fish would even go for that as bait.
That sounds like something they would eat in Korea. Chad told me that when they were in Korea, you can go to vending machines and get squid. And vending machine.
And it's not for bait? It's like for eating?
It's like they eat it. Like at baseball games, kids will order squid on a stick like we get cotton candy.
Yeah. All right, number 7. Walker's Max Char-Grilled Steak.
You'd like that one.
I would try that one, I got to say. I would probably try the steak potato chips. I really would. That didn't sound too bad to me. The next one, and I love, this is when I order Chinese and get it delivered to the house. I get this every time. But I'm not sure on a potato chip. And it's from Terra. You know, Terra makes, I don't know if you guys get Terra chips out there, but they make good chips. Terra Kettle General Tso's Potato Chips.
What is that, like a spicy thing?
Yeah, it's a spicy thing. It's a spicy Chinese chickeny thing, which is why you probably don't know it because it's a chickeny dish. And it's spicy, and I'm not sure I'd put it on a potato chip. I'm not sure about that one. It's another one where I eat I love General Tso's. I get that all the time. I don't know how fast you pronounce it. That's how we pronounce it. So anyway, I get that all the time, but I'm not sure on a potato chip. Number 5, Jiminy Chips Marsala potato chips.
I think it's masala.
Ooh, masala. That's actually a curry flavor, and that's my favorite curry flavor. So I would totally eat that on chips. Masala sauce. Yeah.
See, we're not into curry. I don't like curry at all. Jennifer doesn't either, so that's probably why I didn't know that one. I definitely wouldn't eat those. You can have those. I'll give you all of mine. Number four. So you're going to love this one.
I'll trade you my chili squid potato chips for your masala potato.
I want to know from the audience on Facebook, would anybody like to try the chili squid? That, so far, that's the worst one on the list. Hot chili squid potato chips. Ugh. How about, this one is right up there. How about Walker's prawn cocktail potato chips? Now, isn't a prawn cocktail a type of shrimp thing?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Shrimp cocktail potato chips.
You know, let's just go ahead and try to avoid completely any under-the-sea flavored potato chips, like any fishy chips. Gross.
And that seems to be a theme here. Number three, Hers Baby Back Ribs potato chips. Yeah, baby, I would try an entire bag of those chips. Set it right there. Number two, Walker's Lincolnshire Sausage and Brown Sauce potato chips. Now, who even thinks about that?
What is brown sauce? That sounds gross.
It does sound like you'd be taking these out of the bag and they'd be dripping, you know, with brown sauce.
I tried brown sauce once, and I thought, oh, brown sauce. I was thinking, you know, brown gravy. No, it's not. It's not related to gravy at all, people. No.
And I'm on Walker's website here, and here's some of their others. By the way, this is out of UK, so probably our UK listeners have eaten these. They also have sour cream and spring onion, which, you know, sour cream and onion's pretty good. And then they have Birmingham chicken balti, which I have no idea what that is. But there's another thing you shouldn't put on a potato chip is chicken.
That's not normal.
And then the number one potato chip for the most outrageous potato chip flavors, and I disagree with them here. I would have put this way below chili squid, and that's Lay's Natural and Cool Kiwi flavored chips. Have you noticed that everything is kiwi now? They're using kiwi in everything.
Yeah, I'm so allergic to kiwi. It's not even funny.
Oh, really?
Yeah, makes my tongue swell up. So I would definitely not eat these. This is a good tip, you guys. I think you should try it.
All right. Well, there was a couple on there we would try and then a couple that we wouldn't. I want to know who is the sucker in the audience that would try the hot chili squid potato chips. I want to know if there's one person that would eat those. And that's put out by Lay's. Lay's is a big chip company.
Why would Lay's make, lobster flavor? What is it, like $25 a bag? Because lobster is so expensive.
That's true. That's funny. All right, and you have to have it shipped in dry ice to eat them. You know?
Yeah. Drain out of the sea.
Amazon.com. Admit it. You shop on Amazon.com. Don't be embarrassed. We all do. Well, next time you have a hankering to hit up Amazon for some deals, stop by horsesinthemorning.com, click on the Amazon.com link on the left side of the homepage, and then shop till you drop. Doesn't cost you a penny, and helps us keep the lights on here at Horses in the Morning.
All right, well, let's talk. I saw this article, and it was the status symbols of today. This is if you're an up-and-comer, if you're wanting to look like a player, like you're rich, then these are the things that you would have owned. And I want to read some of these to you through history because it's really going to make you realize how far we have come since the 1950s. And then we're going to talk about equestrian status symbols. What Jennifer and I came up with a few here, and maybe Jamie, you can come up, and our listeners can come up with a few too. By the way, if you want to call us today, it's 347-637-3238. So in the 1950s, it was a status symbol if you owned a transistor radio, a push-button phone, or an electric toaster. That's how far we've come. In the 1960s, it was a status symbol to own a washing machine, a sewing machine, colorful kitchen cabinets, and an electric carving knife. God, we used to...
No kidding.
I remember, when we first got our first electric carving knife. That was so cool. In the 1970s, I remember all this stuff. In the 1970s, it was a fondue set. God, they came back,
oh,
I think,
man.
Like 90.
I remember my mom's fondue set, and it would either be the oil or the chocolate. And so we'd always see the fondue kit out. We're like, chocolate, chocolate, chocolate. And it was always like, cook your chicken in here.
Yeah, you know. What's that place, Jennifer, where you go and we went and you cook, you actually, you know, have the fondue place. What's it called?
The restaurant is the Melting Pot.
The Melting Pot. So we went there and it was so cool. It's so expensive to go there, by the way. That's a place you go for special occasions. But they have this three-course meal you can have. And so we went with friends. It was fun because the first course is cheese and you dip all this different stuff in cheese and that's cool. And then they have that oil course where you have to cook your own meat in the oil. I got to tell you, my ADD kicked in and I was like, oh, just cook it for me. I don't have the patience to sit here and cook it one piece at a time in my oil. That didn't work for me.
Well, and the problem is you walk into those places, because there was one, I think it was called Dante's down the hatch in Atlanta, and I went in there, and it just smells like grease, the whole place.
Well, I'll tell you what we did the next time. Next time we went, we had the cheese course and the chocolate course, and we skipped the middle cooking the meat part, and that was just fine. I'd rather have doubles of the cheese and chocolate anyway. So in the 70s, you had the fondue set, you had a Betamax. That's when Betamax had just come out. We just threw our last Betamax tapes away not too long ago. When we did our last move, we finally determined that they wouldn't ever be worth anything, even as nostalgia, so we threw those away. A color TV, I remember when we got our first color TV, it was so exciting. And then there weren't any flippers. You basically, one of us kids was in charge of sitting near the color TV, getting radiated, and turning the channel. That was pretty much our job.
Yeah.
And then a mini bar. I remember mini bars, too. They were real big. As a matter of fact, we had one of the first, now get this, this is how much things have changed. We had the first mini bar for a car. They made them for cars, so you could bring your mini bar along and drink while you were driving. That's how things have changed since the 70s. Yeah, you'd get arrested for that now.
That was actually, the mini bar was located in the back of the station wagon where all the kids were sitting riding backwards.
That's
true. How did any of us make it? I mean, really.
We had a van.
I think my mom had a car seat in the very back, turned backwards in her station wagon.
We didn't have cars. But cars weren't in when we were kids. They didn't have a car seat back then. Matter of fact, I remember we had these big vans because there were four boys and there's six of us total. So we had these big, like Chevy vans. And they had, sometimes they would just have the one seat, bench seat in the back. And in back of that, because that only fit like two kids because you couldn't put three or they'd fight. So they just put lawn chairs. We used to sit on lawn chairs. I remember going to Hershey Park, driving the hour, sitting on lawn chairs in the back of the van. Can you imagine? Now,
wow, your parents are broke.
In the 1980s, a Commodore 64 computer. And by the way, I had one of those. I was one of the first geeks. I had a Commodore 64. You could do nothing on it. It had a C prompt. You'd type things. You could maybe make a little tiny game to work. Or you could buy these disk drive things that would make these horrible games work. I mean, it was pretty much a useless piece of junk, but it was one of the first computers, and it was cool to own one. An avocado-colored bathroom. We're not too far from that, by the way, in the house we live in now, because we have a pink bathroom with pink sinks and a pink toilet. I wake up to that every morning, by the way, just saying.
Wow.
A garbage disposal and a microwave. When microwaves first came in, they were so cool. They cost about $5,000, and they weighed about 300 pounds, and they were huge. But, boy, were they cool. You probably even remember the first microwaves. You're even old enough for that, man. That was
I don't know. I think so. I've never, you know my theory on microwaves, and I think it probably started when they come out. I never trust a microwave. I won't use one.
I can't believe this. I can't believe you can still.
Why exactly would you eat something that was hot and the walls aren't even hot? Nothing is hot but the actual food. There's no heat anywhere. It's weird and I don't appreciate it.
That's a miracle, Julia. In the 1990s, a black dining room table and chairs. I don't remember that. Again, I don't remember that one. A bread maker. Oh, remember, they were all the rage. Everybody had to have a bread maker. And then you use it five times and nobody ever used it again. And beige carpeting. We still had beige carpeting up to last year. That was Jennifer just wrote it. You don't remember the 90s period.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, now current status symbols of today. I'll give you the top 10. A gas grill, and the bigger, the better. You have to have the monster gas grill, not just a little gas grill. You need the Weber with four burners and the side burners and the, you know, the extra space to put stuff underneath. Gas grills have become really a status symbol for guys.
Okay, hold on. Let's tally up. I want you to keep, Jennifer, you to keep track of how many y'all have. I keep track of how many I have, and we'll see who's actually cooler. Okay, so gas grill is number one. Do you have to have the super gas grill or just a gas grill?
No, this is a super. I have a nice Weber gas grill, I must say.
Here it is. The gas grill has to be less than 5 years old.
Oh, then mine doesn't count. Mine's 20 years old, but I've replaced everything inside of it.
Doesn't count. No.
Oh, do you have one of those?
Okay. I have a gas grill that's less than 5 years old, yes, but it is not a super duper, like, flip your pancakes on one side and cook your meat on the other. I mean, it's just like a regular just gas grill.
Doesn't count. Number nine, temperature-controlled wine cellar. I'm sure you have one of those in Arizona.
Sure. Let me head down there right now. No, don't have that.
First of all, who has the wine around long enough to put it in the cellar? That's my question.
Exactly. And who has, I can't even temperature control my house in this godforsaken city.
A fancy coffee maker. What they're talking about there is one of those one cup, what's the brand? You put the little cartridge in. And we had those when I worked at the one place I worked. It was so nice. I didn't like coffee, but they always kept hot chocolate. You can make that, and it made the best hot chocolate for some reason. We don't have one of those fancy ones. We still have the $20, you know, simple little coffee maker.
Yeah. I think I registered for one of those, but out of everybody that gave me a gift, I think I invited like 60 different people to my wedding and I got like four gifts because I have some really shady friends. So I've registered for one of those, but I didn't get it.
Okay. So far we're not doing very well on being hip and chic. Number seven, restaurant-style range stove. And you know what they're talking about. It has the griddle, and it has the 12 burners, and the fryer. We don't have one of those.
Nope, me neither. Nope.
Number six, sound-activated blinds and lights. And, you know, I saw a TV show the other day with these, and you actually say open and close, and they open and close. How cool is that?
Oh, you don't do this? Clap
no.
off. Clap off. That's sound-activated.
No, that was in the 70s status.
That was
symbol
the 70s, yeah. That was.
I can disconnect my computer. Connect.
3D TV. First of all, I don't really want one. I just don't. There's not that many shows, and most of the 3D movies, we don't even go and see in 3D anymore because I don't think they're that good. And besides, you have to wear the stupid glasses, so not much. Number four, a stereo system with speakers in every room. That was the top choice for men. Surround sound in every room. Don't have that. Number three, side-by-side refrigerator freezer. I don't know why this is in here because isn't that pretty common? We have that, by the way.
Side-by-side. So do I.
That's because the original survey was done in the UK.
Okay. Was it? Maybe that's a new thing over there.
Side-by-sides are not a commonplace there.
Now, the top choice for women, what would you guess the top choice for women would be?
My top choice, my status symbol that I think that when I walk out of the house, I'm awesome, because I have an iPhone.
Nope, not the top choice. The top choice for women is a walk-in closet.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Women do like big closets. I have a small walk-in closet that I have to share with my husband, so I don't think I qualify there.
We have the biggest closet we've ever had in our life in this house. It is bigger than some of the bedrooms we've had in the past, and because we don't really have all that many clothes because we're horse people, it looks pretty empty. So we probably do have a huge walk-in closet.
Jennifer, you just make that the baby's room. Ew!
And number one on the list, any guesses? What's number one on the list? And I don't know if you have this or not.
I thought it was an iPhone. I have no idea.
I thought it was going to be a pool. You know, I really thought a pool. But apparently it's a hot tub. That's like the number one status symbol is to have a really cool hot tub.
I'll tell you what, we do have a hot tub here, and it's, like, right next to the pool. However, and when we moved in, you were so excited, a pool and a hot tub. But we've realized that the hot tub was installed so long ago that it's heated by propane. Yeah. Propane-heated hot tub. What kind of ghetto hot tub is that? I mean, really, propane, you know how much gas it would take to heat up a hot tub?
You actually don't need a heated hot tub. You need a hot tub with ice in it where you live. You need to just jump right in the cold tub. That's what you need. You need a cold tub.
No, Glenn, to cool off, I go to my temperature-controlled wine cellar and sit down there.
Well, now, we came up with some equestrian status symbols of today. And this is what we came up with. A living quarters horse trailer that has to be at least four horse, and the living quarters has to have a small kitchen and a bathroom. That is a true status symbol. Don't you think of today?
Yeah, I think three horses are more in, though. Most people have the three horses with living quarter. At least I do. So, I'm cool.
Yeah, you have a speed on that one. You definitely have a speed on that one. A heated wash stall.
We have that.
Yeah, the whole outside's a heated wash stall.
Yeah, it's the concrete pad outside the garage with a hose next to it.
Yeah, when you live in Florida, your whole place is a heated wash stall.
That's the heated wash stall.
Gotcha. Yeah, don't have that. Don't have that.
Bling helmets. You know, cool helmets are really coming in now, and I think is new. Air vests. I think having the pop vests are really becoming a status symbol. You have to own one if you're an inventor. Don't you think so?
Oh, yeah. I definitely do, and now I have my red, white, and blue American flag helmet that all the listeners helped me win, and I have an air vest, so my God, I'm awesome.
And then super bling belts and super bling cowboy hats are now in. You know, it used to be that back about 20 years ago, kind of plain, and, you know, the plain look was in on the western side, but boy, it isn't not that. It's super bling. And, you know, that's on the English side now, too, because how many, you know, jumpers and hunters are wearing the super bling belt? And you even have them, I think, right?
I won a belt buckle at a horse show, but no, it does not qualify as bling at all. Nothing I would wear would be considered bling. But I do love the fact that it's such a cool thing in Western sports to look good. You know, they all look so good in their hats and their belts, and they're shiny, and you can see them from a half mile away. It's fantastic. I don't have that kind of – I can't pull it off.
Can I add to your list there of them looking really good to paint it on jeans, just for all the guys out there, just adding that?
Yeah.
It must take them a week to put them on. Now, what can we add to that list? What else would be equestrian status symbols of today?
It's you know what's horse. Becoming? The hairy horse. What? You got to have some hairy breed of horse. That's the reason.
Oh, that's true, with the long manes and the tails, and you're right.
The Gypsy Vanners or
the
Frisians.
Yeah. You're right, a hairy horse. That's a
list. Yeah. Horse. I forgot. Oh, you know what's really big in English now is the monoflap saddle.
Oh, ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
cool,
really popular
with the buckles
now.
Down on their elbows, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool now to have a monoflap. And then, let's see, I liked your idea with the whole trailer thing. What else is really awesome to have if you
are
a
cool truck?
Person?
Is there a cool truck to pull the trailer? Does it have to be the 1-ton?
I feel like the truck people are still very divided. There's no uniform truck, but if you have a Dodge, then you feel like everybody else should have a Dodge. And so anybody that has a Dodge, you think they're cooler than anybody that has like a Ford. At least I do. But you know what's really trendy now, and I really thank the Jockey Club for this, but to have an off-the-track thoroughbred. The OTTB, I mean, how many times do you hear that now? And to have an off-the-track thoroughbred, they give special prizes at horse shows now, prize money at different horse shows. So I think we owe that to the Jockey Club because I think it's starting to be kind of a status symbol.
Well, I think that's a pretty good list to start. Let's have our listeners chime in. Jennifer, if you could post get their opinions on what are equestrian status symbols of today, maybe put a couple of our ideas down, get them going, And we'll see. Maybe by the end of the show, we can come up with some new ones for that. But I just thought that was kind of fun and shows you how things have changed over the years.
Do you know what the show would be like if I got to do it all by myself? It would be me doing Templeton Thompson karaoke. What is it? Come on, girls. What is it with girls? Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's all we would do. I would just sing. I'll sing all hour. I don't care.
You guys better hope. You better pray we don't lose our power on Monday.
You've got that to look forward to if they do. Okay, people?
So today's Really Bad Ads is sponsored by Field Guardian Fence. If you're looking for some tape fencing, then they're the place to go to. If you're looking for a new charger, they have the best chargers in the business. We just love their fencing. So far, we've had branches land on it, small to medium-sized branches, and it's just bounced them off. This is tough stuff. Now, we have the fence that's rated to 900 pounds. Let's face it, if one of our 10,000-year-old live oak trees falls down on our fence, it's probably not going to make it. But nothing would. So we're going to see. We'll give you a report on our Field Guardian fence after the hurricane blows by here next week. It's fieldguardian.com for all of your fencing needs. Well, and Jennifer, what is our prize for the winner today?
Today's prize is a set of Summer Winnie's Socks for Horses socks made in the USA, specially designed to protect your horse's legs from insect bites and to keep them from being munched on. They're super stuff.
Thank you to them for donating that prize. Well, we had a lot of new people, didn't we, today, Jamie?
We sure do. And the first one up is a new contributor, Katie Smith. And Glenn, let's hear what Katie sent.
A registered 8Y Palomino Gilden, $1,500. I have a very sweet and gentle Gilden. He has been trail road, R-O-A-D, goes through, T-H-R-E-W, water. Not spooky, but body can ride. Nice horse. For more information, call. So there you go. You can get yourself a nice Gilden.
Body can ride.
Anybody can ride. That's right. Just throw anybody up there and you're good to go.
Yep. Dawn Bailey sent this next one in, and we'd like to thank her for that because this was great. And it's not even so much the ad. You know, when you put an ad on Craigslist, they at the bottom let you type in any keywords like horse for sale, you know, or fancy saddle or a brand name of a helmet, whatever you're selling, you're supposed to put some keywords in that associate with what you're selling. Now, the ad in itself is fantastic. Here goes. 14 Hind, perfect pony, check out the bloodline. It's $1,200. You can sling ropes all over and around and whistle on top of them. Take big flags and flag them, smiley face. Wrap them in a tarp. Crosses narrow bridges. Will jump up or down anything you ask very willingly. Holds his own feet up for you to bath them. We blow him off with the blower to get the dirt off. That is... Poor horse. That is great for his skin, and it completely cleans him off without using water. And he gets along with all other horses.
Not so good for his breathing system, but great for his skin.
Why would they wrap him in a tarp? That's what I want to know.
Well, you got to haul him somehow.
I guess. This horse is going to be the kind you never sell. I may trade this pony for
a
car or
truck. You won't.
I'm not going to sell him, but yeah, I mean, you won't, but yeah, I got to get him out of here. She doesn't even want to just sell him, Glenn. She'll trade him. She'll trade him for a car or truck that's working, or possible if it doesn't work, then I can get it running. Send all info cash talks. Nugget is truly not herd bound at all. Well, apparently because you got him wrapped up in a tarp, slinging him over up and down jumps, my God, you're blowing him with a blower. So here's his bloodline. She goes on to list those. No punctuation. Buttercup, King's Remedy, Gold Duchess, Silver and Gold, Puri, Smoky, Silver Smoke, Gold Pandora, Body, English Little Poco, Remedy. Is that
very
his name?
Good.
So real quick, click the keywords that she actually put in for this ad, too. Keywords. Because this is what comes up when they search for something like this. Rope halter, silver gold stirrups, leather tools, Australian packing camp stove, hunting tent, mule jenny, cow bull steer helmet lessons, training blanket, replacing, fleecing, sewing, bridle, billy, cook, Simcoe, weaver, Corbett, abetta, Wintec, synthetic mule jenny, packing decker, bag ropes, halter, silver gold stirrups, leather tool, Aussie, Australian packing camp stove, hunting tent. It just goes on and on. Those are the keywords. So if you're searching for blanket repair or a synthetic mule, you will find this horse on Craigslist.
Synthetic mule. I love that. That was pretty good. Thanks for sending that in, Dawn. Yudi sent this one in, and this is another trailer. We have two trailers today, I think. And this is a great trailer. This is a great trailer picture. But the title is what makes this one. And actually, Jennifer thought Yudi made this up, the title. She actually had to go to the ad twice and make sure that this, and this is actually what it says. I love this title. Sturdy and red and lots of tread. The person has the, like a rhyme here. Sturdy and red and lots of tread. It's a two-horse trailer for $500. And it says we can possibly deliver, too, if you are too far out. We are helping an older lady clear out her yard. Does that sound suspicious? Like maybe they stole the trailer right out of the lady's yard. They're helping clear the... This is a great little two-horse trailer. It's very sturdy and red. It has great tires with lots of tread. Its back door has been altered to slide open because she couldn't lift the ramp. It could be switched back easily by you. It does not have a title at this time. Sounding more suspicious as we go along here. We can give you a bill of sale, and you could possibly get a homemade trailer title to get it plated. I didn't even know those existed. This trailer doesn't look like much, but it's nice and sturdy, has hauled wood, horses, cows, and stolen stuff right out of the lady's yard. Oh, no, I added that. It's well-made and reliable. By the way, it doesn't have a jack in the front. It kind of just sits on the ground. We currently use a car jack and a big wooden block. And they'll give you that for extra. One could be welded on easily enough. Could you just see them stealing it out of the lady's yard as they're trying to pick it up and put it on the bumper?
Well, how do you get it out of your yard? It doesn't have a jack. Like, oh, I guess it's got the little hole thing to slide over, but over the ball. So you have to, like, lift it up. And the back of the trailer, where apparently there used to be a ramp, looks like aluminum siding.
It does kind of. And this trailer has no roof. What is it without trailers with roofs? We haven't had a trailer on this show in 6 months that has actually had a roof. The convertibles must be in. It's a status symbol. A convertible trailer must be a status symbol.
Now you're on to something, Glenn. Wow.
This is attractive,
that's exactly
too. It is red, and it looks like the treads are good. They're right. It's sturdy and red and lots of tread. Jennifer will post a picture of that one on our Facebook page.
Well, you know, every Monday we have Leslie Wiley from HorseNation.com on our show to talk about what's going on in the horse world, news, popular things on their awesome website. And I got a bone to pick with her. She's stealing from us, Glenn. She's a thief.
What?
Do you know? Yes. Do you know what one of the news segments she has on her website?
No, I don't.
Really bad ads.
What?
She takes
Does she call
really
it really bad ads?
I don't think so, but I'll have to go back and look. I can't remember what she called it, but it's really bad ads. And she just copies and pastes them. So she doesn't even have to read them out loud like we do. This is more challenging for us. But the two she put up, I'm taking credit for because she clearly stole the idea from us. And I'm going to read hers. I'm going to steal back. Remember, if you're stealing from me, you're stealing twice. The first one is...
I don't know what that means.
That means I stole it from somebody else. The first one is an adorable miniature horse colt, $300. 5-month-old mini horse colt. Mother is a 32-inch bay, and father is a 28-inch chocolate and white. This picture is when he was a day old. May trade for a different colt or stud because I don't want to take a chance on him breeding his mother. Or I would keep him. I'll also trade for guns or a wire welder. Call me. So why don't you just geld him, okay? They don't want him to breed his mama. That's disgusting.
Yeah, that whole thing. And by the way, it's cute as a baby, though. It's really cute.
Oh,
it's terribly cute. And then this is the other one. Of course, theirs aren't as good as the ones I listened
to. No, ours are much better.
So. Yeah, they're much better. We are looking for a free older horse for my 7-year-old and the 8-year-old daughter. We have one whore, and the kids want to ride with me. We'll allow a home visit and sign any agreement. We get attached to our whores, and we're not whore flippers. Just a good family wanting to add another family member. I might have added the last whore for humor.
Hey, well, Jennifer,
keep your whores at home.
Can you get our lawyer on the phone? Can we sue Horse Nation, please? And so they stole our idea. Yeah. All right. All right. The next one was sent in by, how do we determine we say her name is Gemma, right? Okay, good. Sent in by Gemma. Half-draft warm blood gelding, 6 years old, $2,000 her best offer. This is Maximus. What a great name for a horse. He is 6 year old thoroughbred draft cross gelding. I was told when I purchased him that he was half Shire, but I think he's actually half Clydesdale. Beautiful dark bay, black with four white socks and a big blaze. He stands over 17 hands. He is one big handsome boy. From what we can tell, the owners before me were really afraid of him. He doesn't have a mean bone in his body. He has a super kind eye. Because others have been scared and nervous around him, he was scared and nervous. He has 60 days of training, but could tell that they were afraid to ride him, and he just did a lot of round pen and groundwork. I just put an additional 30 days of hard riding on him by one of the best horse trainers in Cache Valley. He has bucked in the past, including a girl a couple months ago, before the 30 days of riding, but has not bucked since.
Okay, at least they told he bucked, okay,
that's
unlike
true.
Some people who are like, oh, I have a perfect beginner safe horse, and no, it's never bucked. Ow, my back still hurts because of that idiot.
It's going to really hurt if you were riding a 17-hand Clydesdale that's bucking. He is doing really good right now. He still has a little colt in him and still a little jumpy, but doing better and better with every ride. Let's read between the lines there for a minute, Jamie. Let me read that sentence, and you tell me what it really means. He is doing really good right now. He still has a little colt in him, and he's still a little jumpy, but doing better and better with every ride. Now translate.
All right, so he still has a little colt in him. He is acts like a stallion. He spooks and he bolts and he bucks. But it gets better each time because he gets more athletic and he can buck even better every time.
And what's the next thing they always say after they put that sentence in about getting better and better with each ride?
But he's so sweet.
Let me read you the next sentence. He has a really sweet disposition. You're absolutely right.
No kidding.
He will follow you around and loves being scratched and rubbed down.
He
doesn't like being rubbed down. He has a really soft mouth and takes very little pressure to get him turn or give his head because he's busy turning on his own and bolting.
Barbed wire as a bit.
That's right. That's true. Been working with neck reining, but still needs more work with this. This horse has great potential, but just needs... Now, this sweet, lovely horse who loves all of these people and being, you know, is getting so much better as the 30 days of training, hard training, by the way, has great potential, but just needs an experienced rider.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Do we have the hint here about this?
Well, we got it because one of the sentences later on, he is extremely agile and athletic. That means he can buck really, really good.
At 7 hands.
Yeah. Exactly. So there you go. That's definitely a read between the lines one. Robin Kane sent this next one in. Horses for sale. Hello, I have a 3-month-old bay and white Tobiano filly for sale. Long legs registered asking $2,000. I have her mom a 16-hand solid bay mare. Registered proven to be an excellent broodmare for sale. $1,500 series buyers only. Prices are negotiable to the right buyers. Can you say run on sentence? Hello. Next one. Palomino's registered quarter horse, beautiful golden for $2,000, very nice horse, needed someone's attention who really knows horses, no rough hand. What?
So if you have smooth hands, you're fine?
I don't know. I don't get it. Arab Walker Cross, very nice little mare, proven to be an excellent broodmare, $1,000 or best offered a good home only. All prices are negotiable to the right person, period. Do not contact me unless you're a very serious horse person. There are too many flakes on this website. Leave a message and a good time to reach you, and I'll contact you in a day or so. Thanks.
I can send pictures upon request.
That's funny.
Awesome.
Jennifer, I think we're going to skip the next trailer, which I think we skipped last week, and we'll move it to next week. Poor Tiffany. Thanks for sending in your trailer, but we're running out of time, so we'll put that one in next week. John Merriman sent in the next one. Are we going to do – is that one still – we're doing that one?
Yeah, thoroughbred gelding for sale, $10,000. I have a gorgeous four-year-old thoroughbred gelding for sale, $10,000. That's a good price. He's a 16-3 and still growing, four white socks, star, stripe, snip, sneakers is his name. He is flexible enough to go far, but he can do everything you ask, from eventing to dressage and maybe even jumpers. This is the line that got me, Glenn. He has a natural eye for finding his stops at fences.
Wait a minute. I don't know much about jumping and stuff, but I don't think you're supposed to stop at the fences, right?
I think their typo is supposed to say spot, but they wrote stop. So he has a very natural eye for finding his stops at fences. So $10,000. There you go. Thanks, John. Thanks, John.
You can just picture the rider flying through the air. Karis Berry sent this in. I think that's a new contributor, too. Karis and Phil Berry, thank you so much for sending this in. We appreciate it. Thoroughbred stud. We have a lot of thoroughbreds this week. Thoroughbred stud for sale or trade, $1. Pro training Western with natural horsemanship at a two-year-old. Very nice horse. Loves to be rubbed. Leads lunges, picks up feet, only been on a trailer a few times, picks up a foot and put it on for him, so he want to load to train to load. Is a fast learner, needs someone that's got some time to work with him, has been with goats and other horses and ponies and does well. His ticken the bit, but was trained with Hackamore. He's around 15-1 to 15-2 hands. He's a big boy. He just got feet trimmed. He did okay. Maybe getting gelded. Maybe good idea. We'll trade for goats or any kind of... I added that, sorry. We'll trade for goats or any kind of large meat goats for breeding but not eating. I'm trying to get into the goats and out of horses, something me and my little girls can do without getting them hurt or me worrying too much. We'll take more than one goat, 10 or so or less, if good quality goats or registered. Update. Just saddled him up and rode him around the pasture and yard for 2 hours and didn't bother him at all. He killed three of the children, but it didn't bother him at all.
Yeah, he's fine. He's fine. Yeah, that was a great one. Karis, thanks for sending that in. You can trade your goats for horses right there. I don't even know what. Oh, North Carolina. Let's see. A beautiful black mare, $650, sent in by Cindy Ross, and this is the Emmett Star area. God, I love it. These are all Craigslist. I mean, you can tell that all these are Craigslist. What is wrong with people? A really pretty girl, 6 years old, needs experienced rider due that she's young and green and a little. Loads, ties, baths. I could go on and on and on, but I always rather have people see for themselves. She even loads in a two house. Good girl, G-U-R-L, I promise. You may contact me. Thanks. Sorry I don't have much to say, but I'm a person who don't like to tell stories, LOL, because she's a great horse for me doesn't mean she would be for others. I'd rather you tell me what you think. Sorry, just an honest person. I don't have any probs with her. Also, she gets along with others. I'm not going to tell you anything, get it here for yourself, but I'm going to keep going. Also, she gets along with others. She will make a great kid's horse one day, just a little more time. She don't run off, not a mean bone in her body. I will drop her off for no charge if it's in the Kuna, Emmett, Caldwell, Nampa, Sweet, Ola, and Marzing areas. Is that this country? I've never heard of any of those. Just got her shoed 3 days ago. I can do half hay. I need a saddle, a half cash, and a two-year-old filly. Tell me what you have. I'm pretty open. I need a new project. okay, so you need a new project because you didn't finish the one that you had before, considering that she needs an experienced rider because she's still green. Make sure you get a new one before you finish the last one. Good job. Way to go.
Yeah, I think there was some herb involved before she wrote this, you know?
Yeah,
little bit.
I think so.
Yeah,
she's young, green, and a little loads and ties. Like, there's no ending. Yeah, she's stoned. Good call.
Robin Kane wrote this, sent this one in. Wanted dairy goat for cat rescue. Now, I kind of didn't understand. Maybe somebody can explain this one to me. I'm looking for a large, medium-sized dairy goat, preferably in milk or bread. I have several litters of kittens that would benefit from a goat. Are kittens... I don't know.
Why would
are kittens,
the mama...
they call a baby goat?
No.
Oh.
I guess she thinks she's going to feed the goat milk to the kittens, but why wouldn't you just use the kitten's mom, the cat, to feed the kittens? And why don't you spay the dang cats so they don't have 14,000 kittens every single year? So there you go. That one just made me mad.
All right.
Yeah, she says she has a Nigerian dwarf goat that's just not producing enough. You think? It's a dwarf. How many zeros can the word several represent?
And do the kittens,
what's the limit?
Do the goats really let the kittens nurse? Or they,
I have no idea, but this is a bizarre thing. It makes me want to call. But they didn't leave the number. So thanks, Robin. Ruin the fun. And our winner for this week is Short Yet Sweet. And this has got to be the product of a divorce. I mean, does this not sound like complete divorce?
Yes, or really pissed poor husband, one or the other.
This is a Tiff Thunderbolt sent this in. Tiff Thunderbolt, when you send in your email, make sure you put your name on it. Otherwise, we'll call you by your email name, which is Tiff Thunderbolt. Horse saddles, and saddles is spelled wrong. And this is coming from East Milton. So all in capital letters, short and sweet. Three saddles and tack. I don't know much about this stuff other than I have it and I don't want it. I'm thinking 600 for the three saddles and all the things for the horse's head. Call John. Ask.
All the things for the horse's head.
My wife left me. Get all this crap out of here. Oh, thanks, Tiff. We're going to go ahead and send you the socks for horses. Oh, that was fantastic. I would have had to call and be like, I just want to know what you have. What are those things for the horses' heads?
Tiff awesome Thunderbolt, stuff. If you could send your address to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com, your mailing address, that is. We would be happy to get your prize out to you this week, and thank you for. I think that person might be new too. Tiff's Thunderbolt, thank you for sending that in. Three saddles and tack, and I don't know much about this stuff other than I have it and I don't want it. How many times have us horse husbands thought that?
Oh my God, I know. It's awesome. Awesome ad. Well, thanks, everybody. Thank God Friday's almost, it's Friday. The week is almost over. That's the important thing. You guys have anything fun planned for this weekend?
We're
going to have a hurricane.
Yeah, hurricane. We're going to plan for the hurricane. Although I just got a note here from Susan Nelson, our person who keeps track of everything for us, that says the hurricane is not headed for you. It's going through Cuba, past the Keys, and up to the Gulf. To Alabama and Mississippi. So she apparently Susan has a direct line to Mother Nature, and and we are spared. Thank you, Susan. I appreciate you putting in a good word for us.
Yeah, well. She's on top of things, but probably she also watches the Weather Channel. So maybe the direct line to Mother Nature is, it could be the Weather Channel. Jim Cantore, I think, talks to God. So it could be that could
well,
be it.
Well, no. We always said, and we've had one experience where Jim Cantore showed up in our town, and that was when we were in Lexington when all those tornadoes came through. So if we see Jim down here at Main Street in Ocala, we'll know to get the hell
out of here.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. See ya later. Well, hey, everybody, thanks for listening. I'm actually with my bad back. This is what's great, is we had this plan before I hurt myself. So I have to stuff myself into my husband's car tomorrow, and we are driving to Los Angeles to visit his brother and their family and all their kids and stuff. So I have to sit with this bad back in a car for 6 hours tomorrow, and then we're coming back on Monday. Oh, this is going to be awesome.
That's going to hurt. Yeah. Take some drugs. Get some drugs today. You need drugs.
You know what's awesome is that my sister-in-law is actually a doctor. So if I don't see a doctor today on base, I'll be like, hey, while you're here, can you look at my back? Let's get an x-ray, shall we?
Where hey, you know what? You could go through Norco. We have that good friend of ours that's a chiropractor there in Norco.
Oh, my God. I'm going to call Jennifer Levin. Levin's. I should call her. There you go. That's
yeah, you
be.
Should. She'd see you. Yeah. Good idea.
We all have a great weekend.
Stay take care.
And yell. Thank you. Watch out. Batten on the hatches. Susan might be wrong. Maybe one. Probably not.